going to look at that passage in Acts chapter 26 under the title, A Testimony to Gospel Grace. And in that passage in which Paul shares his testimony of how he became a Christian, I have used it many times down through the years in guiding Christians as to how they can share their own personal testimony. And what I'm going to do today is I'm going to look at this passage, but I'm also going to use it to share something of my testimony of how I became a Christian. I do this so that indeed to testify to the grace of Christ in a sinner's life like myself, but also to help to encourage Christians to share their testimony as well. And there's a great wee pattern there you can see outlined in the notes there about sharing your testimony. There's an introduction, life before Christ, before you became a Christian, the change that happened, and then your life with Christ. And any Christian should be able to take those wee headings, write in just what happened at each of those stages, and be able to share it with others. So looking at this passage here on what Paul shares, we see, first of all, an introduction in verses 1 to 3. And he begins to prepare the way for his testimony in identifying what he had in common with Agrippa. And what he and King Agrippa had most in common was their common Jewish background. And that comes up again and again in his testimony, this common background. I came from a loving and humble home in County Armagh, in an area called Mother Glass. It's about 3 miles from Newry. There's nothing particularly exceptional about Mother Glass, apart from maybe it has nearly as many flags as a Hockle has in July time. My father drove a coal lorry for Fisher Fuels in Newry, and he was also a part-time member of the Ulster Defence Regiment. My mother came from the other side of Newry called the Commons, the Warm Point side. And she was a housewife. She was a home help, cleaned the houses of some local elderly neighbours. And I grew up in a small 3-bedroom cottage with mum and dad and 4 older sisters. The good thing about being the only boy was I got a bedroom to myself, and the 4 of them with bunk beds had to share the same bedroom, which seemed fair enough for me anyway growing up. What about life before Christ? Well, Paul here speaks of his very religious life that he had. He was a committed Jew, and he was a very zealous Pharisee, he says. And that included opposing the name of the Lord Jesus. He hated Christians. He had them put in prison, where possibly he had them put to death. He was there when Stephen was put to death. And in all that Paul was doing in this life before he became a Christian, he thought he was pleasing God. He thought he was serving God. He was very religious, but he was lost. My upbringing at home was religious. It was Presbyterian. I was brought up to go to Sunday school in George Pass every week, where my mother was a Sunday school teacher, and also went to church there every week. We would never miss. In my earliest days, neither of my parents were Christians. Even though my mum taught Sunday school, she never had the gospel clearly explained to her, because in those days, sadly, in many Presbyterian pulpits in that area, the gospel wasn't clearly taught. But towards the late 1970s, evangelical ministers entered some of these churches, including my home church. And through the ministry, first of all, the Reverend Jim Thompson, and then the Reverend Victor Patterson, who then went to Bucknagh, my mum was converted during what would be my mid-primary school years. And that had a big impact on our whole family. One of my earliest memories of my mum is going into the bedroom and seeing my mum just kneeling beside the bed praying for us all. I myself, as a child, I was generally a well-behaved child, although my mother will tell you the stories of how I took a hammer to my Tonka toys because I wanted new ones. I also put a football through the bedroom window one day, deliberately, I have to say. But other than those things, I was generally a good child. I worked hard at school, engaged in Sunday school and church, Sometimes the children's addresses in churches, our small church, was a two-way conversation between the minister and myself. And growing up, I generally didn't see myself as bad, and I didn't see myself as someone needing to be saved. And Paul and I had that in common. We thought we were pleasing God in the lives we lived. Then we see the change that took place. Paul's conversion was very dramatic as he encountered Jesus on the road to Damascus. And there are at least three aspects to this conversion. First of all, he was convicted of sin. It says there in verse 14, he says, "I heard a voice saying to me in the Hebrew language, 'Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?'" And for the first time in his life, he came to discover that he hadn't been working for God, but working against God. He became aware that he was a sinner before God, and he was out of God's good books. Next, he came to a new understanding of Jesus. He says, I said, "Who are you, Lord?" And the Lord said, "I am Jesus, whom you're persecuting." He came to understand that Jesus wasn't just a man who had died on the cross. He came to understand that Jesus was the Lord of all, the very God who made this world. And then he had a new gospel purpose in life. He heard the Lord say to him, "I'm sending you to open their eyes so they may turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me." Now, my conversion was a lot less dramatic than Paul's. My conversion was quiet. It was in many ways uneventful from the outside. But in my conversion, there were those same three elements. First of all, I was convicted of sin. Under the preaching of the Reverend Victor Patterson, I heard clearly that I was a sinner who deserved God's punishment and I deserved to go to hell. And I remember as a child coming out of that church many Sundays fearing death and fearing going to hell. I was aware that I wasn't good enough. One night at a youth weekend, the speaker challenged me after the first talk if I was a Christian. In order to avoid him, I said yes and spent the rest of the weekend keeping away from him. But that began a real struggle in my life over the next 6 months. I read a wee booklet called Journey into Life again and again and again. And I tried to find a way around this getting saved business. Surely I could get to heaven without being saved. I hadn't done anything too wrong. By the age of 12, I wasn't into drink, drugs, and rock and roll by any means. And I thought, surely I would be good enough to get to heaven. But then I came to the conclusion, the more I read, the more I heard preached, that there was no hope without salvation. So I was convicted of sin and my guilt before God. And then I came to a new understanding of Jesus. Particularly through reading that wee booklet, I came to accept that Jesus, through his death and resurrection, was my only hope of heaven one day. And one night at a youth fellowship meeting, one of our leaders, in fact, he was only the age of about 15 or 16, he shared his testimony. His name is Adrian. He has gone on to be a Presbyterian minister as well. He shared how he became a Christian. I can't remember a word he said that night. But what I do know is that night I went home. Beside my bed, I just knelt. I confessed my sin to God and I asked that Jesus would save me, saying I trusted in his death on the cross. I came to a new understanding of Jesus, not just someone I read about in the Bible, but someone I had to come to receive salvation. And then I had a new gospel purpose. I knew that becoming a Christian wasn't just a matter of saying a prayer, but it meant committing to live my life for Jesus. And even at the age of 12, I prayed that God would help me to do that, that he would help me to live for him and live a life that would please him. So I was convicted of sin. I came to a new understanding of Jesus. I had a new gospel purpose in my life. The final thing we see what Paul declares here was his life with Christ in verses 19 to 24. Paul, who opposed the name of Jesus, Paul, who persecuted Christians, now glorified the name of Jesus and in his preaching and sought to see people become Christians through embracing the gospel. He says there in verses 22 and 23, "To this day I've had the help that comes from God, and so I stand here testifying both to small and great, saying nothing but what the prophets and Moses said would come to pass, that the Christ must suffer, and that by being the first to rise from the dead, he would proclaim light both to our people and to the Gentiles." Now Paul, as he speaks to King Agrippa here, his burden is that Agrippa would be saved through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It wasn't just about defending himself, Paul was speaking. He wanted Agrippa to trust. And Agrippa mocks him and said, "Do you think in this short time you're able to persuade me?" And Paul says, "I trust that not only you, but all who are listening here today would become like me, except without chains." Becoming a Christian at the age of just 12, it didn't make initially a dramatic impact or change in my life. I sought to read my Bible and pray daily. Sometimes I managed it, sometimes I didn't. I went to Sunday school, I went to youth fellowship, I went to church as I did before. But the difference was now in what I was doing. There was a reality which wasn't there before. It just felt real now in what I was doing. Sometimes it maybe didn't feel real. That went up and down, but on the whole, it did seem I was involved in something very real. Let me just mention a few things that really helped me grow as a Christian, particularly to encourage our young people in this. At the age of 16, I went on my first outreach team. It was to Kilkeel, and I went there for 3 years, and a couple of those years, Stephen Johnson, who grew up in Brookside, was leading those teams. Doing that was a tremendous blessing to my Christian life. Starting to teach Sunday school and then youth fellowship from about the age of 18 continued to help me to grow. Another thing that really helped me was about that age, or maybe slightly older, I began to grasp Reformed theology. I began to grasp that I was saved by the grace of God alone. I read a book called Saved in Eternity by Martin Lloyd-Jones, which is based on John 17 and about how before the world was even formed, Jesus had agreed to die for me, chosen by God the Father. That blew me away. I'd heard it before, but at that stage it just seemed to click into place. It gave me such a security, a joy in my Christian life. I even wondered if I was a Christian before. I believe it was, but an assurance came to me which wasn't before. Another thing which was a great help to me was at the age of 20, I went to Zimbabwe with Tearfund. And coming home after that summer, I would go around doing youth meetings and take services on behalf of Tearfund. That gave me great experience. And one final thing that's really helped me was when I went to university and involved in Outreach at Queen's Talk Shop, I learned so much about God trying to tell others about Jesus. And I want to say to any Christian here who feels they're not growing, one of the ways you grow in the Christian life is by serving, by sharing the gospel, stepping out of your comfort zone. In many ways, it's only as I did that that my Christian life really grew and developed. Let me mention finally about how I ended up in the ministry. I certainly didn't think when I was at school I would be a minister. I was introvert. When they're looking for volunteers to be up front and speaking, I would be at the bottom of the queue. I prefer to be in the background and to be quiet. Going through school, my one desire was to be a policeman. Growing up in that area of Northern Ireland, not only in my own house, but most of my friends, their fathers would have been in the security forces. I wanted to join the police and fight terrorism. And that's why I went to Queen's to do a degree, and the plan was then to go and to join the police after that. But during my time at Queen's, I just had this sense that the police was not where God was wanting me to go. My father never wanted me to join the police. He knew what it was to live a target on his back, and he said, I don't want you to do that as well. But I was determined to do it. But in Queen's, I had this clear sense that God had a different plan on me. Came to my final year, what would I do? I applied to Tearfund to do a year with them. I went over to London to be interviewed by Tearfund, and I became convinced in that interview in London, my heart was in Northern Ireland and in sharing the gospel here. I came back, I applied to join the Irish mission of the Presbyterian Church, to be told that they weren't taking anybody at that stage. And it was just that every single door was closing. And the back of my head was this thought, does God want me to go into the ministry? I didn't want to accept that idea. But more and more, it was every door was closed. And I just felt that no choice, the Lord wanted me to be a minister. And I thought, you know, so inadequate for this. And I just prayed, Lord, I can't do this unless I'm sure that you're calling me to do this. Will you please confirm this to me? I was doing a meeting in a place called New Mills near Portadown. I was speaking at a Sunday service on behalf of Tearfund. I can remember that service. I was so nervous. When it came to the benediction, I couldn't even remember the words of the benediction. I just closed in the prayer. But after that service, I was in the manse with the minister and his wife and son having some lunch. And this was just after I'd prayed that the Lord would confirm to me that he wanted me to be in the ministry. And the minister's wife, Mrs. Porter, she just said to me, William, when are you going into the ministry? She had never met me before. She was saying that based on what she'd heard. And that was the confirmation that I, a wee country boy from County Armagh, the Lord was calling me to do this. I applied for the ministry. It was a 2-year process before I was accepted. I spent those 2 years working for Pearl Assurance as a temporary collector of money, which was a great experience going into people's homes. I worked in a Christian bookshop for a while. I worked for Project Evangelism, through which I met Cherif. And then I worked for a year in Sandy Street Church in Newry as a youth and community worker. And all of this, it was just God preparing me for what was ahead. I went to Union for 3 years. And during that time, we got married. The rule in those days was if you weren't married, you had to live in the college. So after a year, it was better to get married than to get out of the place. And we got married. And then we spent 3 years in Wellington Street, where I was assistant. And then 7.5 years in Moyen Benburb in South Tyrone. And now I've been here in Brookside for 12.5 years. And it's almost now 20 years since I was ordained. And the point I want to emphasize, and I believe this to the very heart, I'm just an ordinary country boy. I'm the son of a lorry driver. I'm the son of a housewife. I'm a sinner deserving hell who is saved by the grace of God alone. I am a weak but redeemed sinner called into this ministry to show that anything can be achieved only by God's grace and God's power. Not by might or by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. I am a spiritual beggar, pointing other spiritual beggars not to where they can get a scrap of bread, but pointing them to where they can find the bread of life. I'm still learning not just to be a minister, I'm still learning how to be a Christian. I'm far from the finished article. But one day I have this hope that I'll be in glory because of Jesus dying for me. And on that day I'll be perfected as I worship him in his presence. The great film Amazing Grace, which tells the story about the slave trade, and John Newton, the writer of that hymn, is mentioned in it. And John Newton in that film, he says this, I'm an old man, I'm almost blind. But 2 things I'm sure of. I'm a great sinner, and Jesus is a great Savior. And I want you to be convinced of those two things today. If you're not saved, if you're not born again, being Presbyterian, saying your prayers, reading your Bible, that's not enough. You need to be saved. You need to come to Jesus for salvation. You need to be convinced that you're a great sinner, but also that Jesus is a greater Savior. Today is a day to stop running. Today is a day, like I did all those years ago. It was 38 years ago. I got down beside my bed and just asked Jesus to be my Savior, to be my Lord, to take over my life. If you haven't done it, trust in Jesus. Come to Him today. Let us pray. Father, we want to thank you for your work of grace in the life of the Apostle Paul. What an amazing change came upon him. Saul of Tarsus, who persecuted Christians, became the great apostle who built up the church through his preaching. And Father, I know in my life I can't compare with Paul, but I thank you that in your grace you saved the sinner who is William Moody. I thank you, Father, for how you've stepped into my life. And Lord, I do pray for any who are gathered here today who are not saved, not born again, grant that you'd step into their life so they'll come to know the salvation of Jesus Christ. And for those who are Christians, and particularly maybe early in their Christian life who are struggling, give them that grace, O God, to come on with you, to trust you with all their heart. In Jesus' name we pray, and for his glory. Amen.